I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys, and we've been talking high on the hog all day, so why stop now? We've covered ribs, and we've covered loins and chops, and, you know, everybody loves bacon. You know, not all bacon is made the same. I'm sorry to say. You can get it for $3 a pound or $20 a pound.
And you can get it for $3 a pound?
Well, if you you know what?
Where?
Well, you can buy the big packs of it.
You haven't bought it in a while, obviously.
Well,
it's gone nuts.
Yeah, okay.
The cheap junk is $5 or $6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I buy, you know, buy a 3-pound pack of it at the food service place. And once in a while, if I'm doing a lot of like jalapeno poppers or something, or I put that stuff in my beans once in a while. And it's usually sometimes you can get it on sale for $9.99 for a 3-pound pack.
But I don't know if I told you or not, but Smithfield bacon is owned by the Chinese, so don't buy that.
Right. Exactly. You might have told me that.
Yeah.
Right. I think I remember
if
that.
If I have to go for commercial, I always go with Oscar Mayer or with the Hormel Black Label brand.
Yep.
It's pretty good. So making bacon, I started making bacon in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
When I was
that was your Christmas gift from me last year.
Well, you got me a nice little home brine kit. Yeah, it was nice. But when I was at Rhett's Electronics School in Grand Rapids, I got a job at Van and Brink Meats. My roommate and I both worked there.
Slippery hams they had there. Very slippery.
Oh, very slippery. And then I had slippery hands. So leave it alone.
No, you got to finish the story now because when they were hungry, it just so happened that one of those hams would slip and maybe bounce off the floor right beside the sink.
Yeah.
Well, you can't put it back in production, but you could rinse it off.
No, you
and
didn't.
Then you ate.
No, we never rinsed it off. What you did was make sure you dropped it in front of the federal inspector. Because if old man Vandenbrink saw you drop it, he'd just pick it up and put it in with everything else. You did it when the inspector was around. He was a really cool old guy. But bacon out of those smokers that we did, we had these big smoker racks. And they were push carts, right? It was like a giant catering rack or something. And you could hang 2 or 3 slab high. And then there was probably, there was probably 20 or 30 slabs on each on each cart.
Well, our listeners probably aren't going to do that.
You rolled them right into the smoker.
Right.
And I believe we smoked them at 190 degrees. For like 21 hours.
Right.
Something like that.
Because it's raw product when it goes in. So this is belly meat, right? We went to the baby backs and we went to the spares.
Yep.
Below the spares.
You know what's next then.
Right, is the bacon. Right. This is the flank. This is down on the belly of the hog. And you can get it with the skin on or the skin off, right, when you smoke it. Is that right? I'm asking.
Gosh.
Or do they normally take the skin off?
I believe the skin was on it.
Right. No hair, but the skin was on there, right?
Right.
So you
I said, it was 1975.
So you brine this stuff,
most of our listeners were never born by then.
Right. So you brine
this
meat. That's
all we did. Yeah, they just brined it. There was no rub. The brine had everything in it. It was so salt and sugar. And then we had these machines with these needles that would go down into it, inject the brine. And then you throw them in a brine tank. And they'd only stay in the brine tank like overnight. And then, boom, they were ready because they were injected.
Right.
And there's a lesson for doing pork butts even, you know, to inject. We don't push injection enough.
Right.
Not the jab. Don't confuse this with the jab.
Right. Right. Just the brine, what the brine does is it puts moisture and flavor into the meat.
It penetrates the curing agents.
Right.
Because you're curing. To make bacon or ham, you have to cure the meat.
Mm-hmm.
So the temperature does part of the cure, but the salt, sugar, and...
You don't have to use nitrites, do you?
By law, yeah.
Yeah.
America's weird that way. Not in Europe. They figured it out a long time ago. They won't eat half of our food. But they don't only have half the cancer, too.
Right.
So nitrates and nitrites... There's the two you can use. You can actually get it done with curing salts, but you know, you've got the federal government that has all these brainiacs that think they know better, and they like pushing the chemicals.
Well,
government made stuff.
So these you brine these things, you brine these things overnight, and then you're going to take it out. Do you rinse it off? Do you just let it drip dry? Do you go right from the brine into the smoker? I think you rinse
it
off.
You towel dry it.
Right.
Yep.
Yep. Rinse it off. Towel dry it a little bit, and then you're going to put it in your smoker. How do you know when it's done?
That's a really good question. I think it's based on the tenderness. You know, when it feels like it's starting to want to pull apart a little bit, then it's done. Then you just let it cool. And after it cools, then you flip it over and you take a nice long knife blade and you cut that skin off it.
Right.
And I cut a fair amount of the fat with it because I just don't need the fat. I'm fat enough.
Mm-hmm. Fast flavor, but there's a lot of fat on bacon.
Yeah,
down in this belly. Yeah.
Some animal's going to have a feast when he eats meat. He's going to say, that's flavorful.
Right, yeah, right.
So you let it cool, you carve off the carcass and refrigerate it, and then get a nice long sharp, like I'd use my brisket knife. And
long
take my
blade.
Time, make sure the meat's nice and cold, and take my time and make nice, perfect slices. It's really hard to do.
Right.
It's not that easy.
Yeah, but the cold part was the key to what
it,
you just
it
said.
It is, and you also put it meat side down, fat side up, so your blade has a good run at something before it starts wanting to wander on you, and then the fat is kind of a blade guide for you.
Right.
But you can, oh my gosh, if you make your own bacon... You'll never buy it again. It's so good.
Right. And you can, you know, we had there's a little store in north and east of Grand Rapids called the Grist Mill. And he makes a thing called holiday bacon. And it's got maple and brown sugar, a kind of a rub on it. And he rubs it before he slices it. He cures it. And there's heavy sugar in the brine. And then
you
he
like
smokes
that, didn't
it.
You?
Yeah. But I sent it to my brother. He loved it in Texas. He'd go, give me some more of that holiday bacon because it's got a little bit of sweet, and when it cooks up, it caramelizes a little bit. Just a cool thing. But I'm just saying, for as many bacons there are out there, there's that many recipes. But that guy's was really good up at the Grist Mill in Canonsburg, Michigan. But we were going to talk a little bit about this crown roast. Let's take a pass on that. But what is this loin trick that you got here?
Oh,
I'll talk about that.
That's just something I developed out of necessity because I was grilling. I mean, and we had five kids, so I would buy pork loin on sale, and I'd cut it up into my own pork chops. Also, because I don't like messing with the bone, it just seems to be a nuisance, and I can't make my meat uniformly cook. So I buy loin and just do my own chops that way. Well, after I did those barbecue classes and got into using a jacquard, I started pounding a lot of meat out with a jacquard. And I always struggled with having a pork chop that wasn't dry. So I put oil on it and took my jacquard to it and beat the heck out of it, both sides, and grilled it. And when I grilled it, it came back and it still looked like a pork chop, but it was much more juicy and tender.
Jacquard is the little nails, the little knives. They're a little bit bigger than a needle. Maybe the diameter of a toothpick, but there's like 60 or 70 of them in this tool, and it's spring-loaded. You just push it down into the meat, and the blades go down in and penetrate it, and you put the oil and seasoning on first and then drive it into the meat, and it tends to flatten it out because you're breaking down the fibers, but then when you cook it, it'll come back together.
Do you ever see the things they used to stamp the prices on cans with?
Yeah.
It has an action like that.
Yeah,
it's just a machine.
Yeah.
Ching, ching, ching.
Right, boy, you're
Except
going back
needles.
A ways. You're going back a ways there, but anyway.
But you do remember.
Yeah, well, I worked in a grocery store when I was a kid,
uh-huh.
right? Yeah. Now they just deliver your groceries to you, and you swipe a card, and you don't even know what you're paying for. But anyway. All right, coming up next, we're going to bring this train to the station. We talked about pork belly. Maybe we'll do the crown roast. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah,
stick with us.
Will.
We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Ben Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
Today's man law number 51. It is acceptable for a man to publicly situate and or scratch himself in the region of the gonads. If at a formal conference, then do so discreetly. If at a football party, scratch away, no handshakes.
Yeah, right.
Whatever. Man law.
Right.
Tell us about the famous Jop crown.
Real easy. It's a full set of ribs. The baby back ribs, and you do take the, I'm going to leave the membrane on them this time, and they usually will leave a bone in as well, because I'm looking for this crown roast, if you will. You'll see it done with lamb from time to time, but you can also do it with pork.
Now
it's the entire loin.
Why would you leave the membrane on?
Just to hold the bones together, because
in order to split, you've already tried taking it off.
Yeah, right.
Thank
because
you.
When you run it around in a circle, because what you're doing is you're going to take a full set of ribs and you're going to cut between them, not all the way, but almost, so that you can take the ends and wrap it around. You've made a circle.
You need that rubber band in
right,
there.
Right. Yeah, and it's like your little finger sticking up. Right. You've all seen crown roaster pictures of them. You can do this. Season it up just like you would normally. I put that in the smoker for about 3 hours. To get it cooking, and then the last 2 or 3 hours, I put a stuffing in the center. And so when it comes out, that stuffing is golden brown. It's crisp up a little bit on the top, like if it had been in the oven. But you don't want it in there the full 6 hours that you need the ribs in, because it'll get over dry, right? But you do want it to get heated through, so the last 2 or 3 hours, I'm at 250 on this.
And what do you put in the middle of that then?
The stuffing. That's what I'm talking about. That's where the stuffing goes, is the center of that. There's a lump of stuffing in there. So the crown, it looks like the little hat part of a crown, right? But then when you serve it, you cut each bone away and grab a spoonful of stuffing and put it with it. It's a really cool presentation. Super easy to do.
Regal.
Yeah. And you've got two pieces of butcher twine, and you just flip it around backwards end to end. Put a couple pieces of twine around it so it won't
open up. A rubber band.
Right, yeah, right. That'd be a little chewy. but anyway, super easy to do. No special seasonings or anything. It's fancy, man.
Well, our producer here, Mr. Trevor, I think you need to take us out with Rubber Band Man. And don't forget to listen to Trev on Saturdays, 97.9 WGRD. What time you on there, bud?
10 to 3.
Hear the golden vibes, and the dude has a tasty set of licks he puts down. 97.9 WGRD, big station in West Michigan.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill, create some grill envy in your neighborhood. We'll talk with you next week.
See ya.